Do a little bit of Parshas Peshalach about the month. Got it?
Oh, my kid was asking about the month.
Oh, okay, great. So, what's it say? So it's by Perek Tazayin. Right? Perek Tazayin. I guess, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, maybe?
Oh, my first year here was on Peshalach.
What?
My first year here.
Oh, really? I know that was yesterday.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay. Here you go. So, Chaf Aleph. So it says like this. It's talking about the man, right? So, Tazayin Chaf Aleph. So it says, I look at Zuhu also by Boker. So they pick the man every morning. Ish Kefiachla. Each person, according to the amount that he would eat. And then the sun would get hot and it would melt. Right, the leftovers. And he was on the sixth day. They picked double. And this old Nassim came and he told Moshe, I guess we had double today. Right? So there's like a double portion. So that's what Rashi is. When they measured it, it turns out it was double the amount which they usually got. So Moshe said, "Hu asher diber Hashem." This is what Hashem said. Shabbos and Shabbos Kodesh Hashem. Machar. Tomorrow is Shabbos. I said, "Tofu yifu." Based on Tavasha Vashelo. So cook whatever you cook and whatever you cook, bake. Based kol ha'odef and the extra nichal ha'mishmaras la'boker. Guard until the morning. Right. In other words, you got a double portion. One of them is made for today, and one is made for tomorrow. And sure enough, they left it over. But didn't rot, because that was what previously it had said. I think that when they left it over and it rotted. Some people left it over and rotted. Right? So that was the thing, is you couldn't store it. You couldn't stash it away for tomorrow. It would spoil. But now, on Friday, it didn't spoil, because this was for Shabbos. Right? So, Vayomer Moshe, Ichlu Hayom, eat it today. Ki Shabbos Hayom Hashem. Because today is Shabbos. Shabbos Hayom Hashem. Hayom Hashem. You're not going to find it in the field today. You're not supposed to be going out today, going to get it. That was why you got double yesterday. Today is the day of rest, and you're not going out and going to get it. Sheishas Yamim Tilkitu. Collected for 6 days. Of Yom Hashvi Shabbos. Lo Yabo. It's the day of rest. You're not going to be one out there today. Right? And it was on the seventh day. Yatsu min ha'am lokot v'lamatzal. So people went out anyways. They disobeyed Moshe's tzivoy. They went out to collect it, but of course they didn't find it. Yomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, "Adon me'antem lishmat misos v'sori. Until when are you gonna, you plural, gonna refuse to guard the mitzvos and the toros? Right?" That's why I gave you double. You're not supposed to go out of here, stay put. And then they rested. Okay? So basically, they found extras on Friday, asked Moshe, what's the deal? He says, oh yeah, this is what Moshe said. Today, this is fake it for tomorrow. Don't go out, and tomorrow came along, and it didn't rot, didn't spoil. Moshe said, don't go out and collect it today. Today's not a day to collect it. But they didn't listen. Right? And then Hashem got angry at them. Right? Okay? That's the rough sequence of events. Good?
Wait, Moshe said, oh yeah, Hashem said to this, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so how did he know that? So it turns out, if you look back, well, I want to look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi for a second. So it says, Let's look back at all the way at the beginning of the parsha. Tezayin Dalad. Okay? Tezayin Dalad. So it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hinni manti lechem lechem min hashmayim. So I'm going to bring down bread from the heavens. Yatzam v'lakti dvayom v'yomo. And the people are going to go out and collect it. L'mana anasenu ha'yidu b'sorasim lo. And I'm going to test them to see whether they're going to keep the Torah, the mitzvahs. And on the sixth day, and they'll prepare that which they bring in. They can have double. Okay? So basically, Hashem told Moshe about the man, and he told him that they can get double. Right? Vayomer Moshe v'Aron kol bnei Yisrael, every okay? He says, So then, well, sure enough, I'm skipping a little bit. It says, so then basically, sure enough, the man fell. And if you look in Pasuk Tav Vav, so it says, Vayiru v'nei Yisrael, Vayomru v'shalachiv manhu, ki lo yedimahu, they didn't know what it was. They called it man. Man means like what? So Vayomru Moshe aleihem, hu halacha v'shanachan Hashem lachem l'achla, this is the bread Hashem is going to give you. Zehav davar shizdiv Hashem, this is the command. Likdu mimenu ishtafi achlo, everyone should take according to that which heili kiriv, omer lagil golos, mispar nashos lechem, isha sheva lo tigahu. So you take it for your family. Vayas you came in Israel, lehikudu hamame v'amar hamame. So they all took. Vayimodu v'amar v'lo hedef hamar v'amame v'lo hechse ishtafi achlo kotus. They all took, and they all had the amount that they, that was for their family. Ayomer Moshe aleihem, isha yosu menu v'okar, don't leave it over. Right? But he didn't say anything about the Shabbos yet. So when Hashem originally told him, basically this is what's going to happen, right? But he didn't quite tell them in the beginning, right? He didn't tell them that part. He waited. He didn't tell them about the man. Like, even though Hashem told them earlier about the Shabbos deal, he basically didn't tell them. And then when there was double on Shabbos, on Friday, then he said, they asked him, what's going on here? He says, this is what Hashem said. That's what he's saying. He didn't have to go and ask Hashem because Hashem already told him about this. So you might wonder, well, why didn't he tell them about it earlier? Hashem told him this apparently prior. Right? Okay. So that's what we're going to take up in Rashi. And you'll see Rashi and the Rashbam are going to have two very different approaches to that question. Correct? So it says like this. It says, Vayigidil Moshe. So this is on Rashi, back to our Pasuk. 22, Chav Beis. So, Vayigidil Moshe, it's the middle of the Rashis. Okay, there's a few Rashis there, it's the last one. Vayigidil Moshe. So it says, Sha'aluhu. They asked him, Ma Yom Yomayim? Why, what's so different? Why is today different than other days? Right? Umikan Yeshalma, Sha'adayim lo higid lachem Moshe, Parsha Shavish, and Estav Olam Olam. Right? Apparently, you see, Moshe didn't already tell them the Parsha about Shavish that he was commanded to tell them, Vayom Yomashinu Yechinu. Right? That idea that he was supposed to tell them apparently about the man, about the Friday thing, and he didn't tell them yet. Right? Okay. So it says, so what? It says, Acha Shalu, until they asked Mazos, and they said, what's the deal? Amar lahem, hu ashadi rasham, shenitztavisi lo malacham. Hashem commanded me to tell you. Ulakach ansha hakasav. And because of this delay on Moshe's part, he was punished. Sha'amar lo, where do you see he was punished? Sha'amar lo, because Hashem said to him, Ad ana me'antem, lehotziyum in aklal. When he rebuked the people for collecting on Shabbos, he says, until when are you guys going to stop? Or until when are you going to refuse to listen to the mitzvahs? Right? So, and he included Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He didn't say, Ad ana me'anu, so when are they going to refuse? Right? It means until when are you guys? Plural. So you see, he included Moshe Rabbeinu in the rebuke. Right? So you see, why? There, Moshe's not the one who collected man on Shabbos. But he is the one who didn't tell them about Shabbos. Right? And if you look on that Pasuk there, on Pasuk Chavchas, Rashi there says, or Chavchas, I'm sorry, Chavchas 28, I don't know, to Mashal Hajjati. It's a, there's a Mashal, it's a parable, like an aphorism, people say. Together with the weeds, I think. Exactly. The carob is going to be smitten. Because if you have weeds and you're going to root them out or put pesticides or whatever it is, then not only are you going to kill the weeds, you're also going to end up killing some good carob. So it's a tu b'shvat. So I figured the carob is the thing, you know. So, Al-Yidei HaRashayim, Miskanim HaKshayim. Via, through the Rashayim, the Ksherim are also going to be embarrassed or included. Right? I mean, when Hashem rebukes the Rashayim, he ends up including Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is kind of funny because I thought Moshe Rabbeinu did his own Avera. So the other Rashi is saying Moshe Rabbeinu is included because he did an Avera. But now it's saying is together with the weeds, the carob is, but Moshe Rabbeinu isn't a carob. Here Moshe Rabbeinu himself sent the Utsim in this regard. But somehow, right, it's a little bit of a problem. Right? Okay.
Is there no opinion that Moshe told them everything, but it's just not written in the Pesukim? Because sometimes, you know, like, the Torah doesn't record everything that Moshe has
no,
told.
No, because I'll tell you why. Because they asked Moshe, what's the deal? It came down to them, and they said, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So if he had already told them, then why are they asking? Right?
That's odd. Why wouldn't Moshe have told them? Like,
as they're saying, it's Nevera. Why would Moshe have drunk? But I mean, that's what we understand. Oh, yeah, good question. We understand what kind of Nevera. It's true, but even Moshe Rabbeinu sins. But the question, what kind of sin is it? It's a strange sin. Why would he do that? Yeah, right. That's a good question. It's a, you understand it in the rock, he got angry. But I mean, why would he, what kind of motivation is this? It's a strange Avera. Right? That's the Avera. Hashem said, tell them, and he just says, yeah, I'll wait a few days. Right? It's a strange type of sin. But, and what's the big deal? Right, what's the big deal? Does it really matter? Tell them today, tell them tomorrow, tell them.
So we kind of assume that he just always said, and I never thought about this, like any time he got Zippor to tell them, as soon as the Nibu was over, he went and told them?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, it seems like for some reason, this was important to tell them. I don't know, maybe always, or maybe here for some reason. I don't know. What's the difference? Like, you could ask, what's really the difference?
It was still Friday. It was like,
yeah, Friday. They knew. Ultimately, they found out. And I'll show you. Look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam, well, and many of you don't have, you don't have the Rashbam, you can look in the Thuruch. So it's on, you have the Rashbam, I think that one has it, right? So it's on Pasuk Chav Gimel. It says, Vayomar Aleihem, Hu Asher Diber Hashem. It's probably small.
Which one?
So it's on Chav Gimel. Vayomar Aleihem, Hu Asher Diber Hashem. Miyom HaRisham. This is what Hashem really told me on the first day, I guess on Sunday. But I didn't tell you. Moshe niskavin shiyu tamehim kishe yimtzu mishnah. So Moshe's intent was that they would be astounded when they found out. Although dilam ata kvodo shel yom haShabbos, in order to tell them now the kavod of yom haShabbos.
So
that doesn't sound bad.
Purposely waited so that they would see that there's a double portion.
Right, and they'd be excited. Yeah. They'd say, whoa, double, whoa, this is great. Shabbos. And it would be exciting. It would be Kavod Yom. It doesn't sound sinful from the Rashbam, right? Sounds on the contrary. It was a strategy. It was a teaching strategy. He thought they'd better appreciate the Kavod Yom if you taught it to them in their excitement. Something like that, about their astounder, their curiosity. What's going on? Double, and it's like a good teaching moment. As opposed to just giving them a list of things about the man, you tell them as it came up, and it was better, you know, something like that, right? I mean, it doesn't sound in the slightest that the Rashbam is criticizing Moshe Rabbeinu. He sounds like he's just explaining why it happened. Right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Does the Rashbam say anything about
that? No, I don't think so. I was just looking there. I looked at the time, but no, he doesn't say anything. He's quiet about that. But, you know, it's not the strongest kasha, you know? It's, whatever. That means, I don't know.
They do seem connected in the sense that Moshe could be getting the blame for their sin, too. Because he waited, they went out and, you know, like maybe if he would have prepared them earlier, then psychologically they wouldn't have felt the need to go out on Shabbos and check. Mm-hmm. So maybe because of that, the.
Mm-hmm. You know, right. Okay.
And also, to add to that a tiny bit, very tiny bit, is like already the whole month thing was like a psychological stress to them. I mean, I've heard that in the past. That. Mm-hmm. So the sooner the better. With regard to like prepping them for what to expect.
Right. Mm. Well, the man made them completely dependent on sustenance from Hashem, and it didn't look like any kind of food they had ever seen before. So psychologically, it was not like satisfying in that way.
Yeah. And you couldn't save it.
And it was just like that day. And if you were tzaddik, it came to you, to your feet. And if you weren't, then it came, you had to go out further to gather it. So that's pretty traumatic kind of life.
Okay. Good. So. So therefore, it would be better. You mean to tell them earlier?
Once they were in the mindset of every day, I have to go out and check because I'm totally dependent now. Mm-hmm. Then, they're worried that whatever they gathered on Friday is going to rot at some point during the day, and they have to go and gather the next days. You know. Mm-hmm.
Except they would assume in the morning that it didn't rot before they went out. They could just see that it didn't rot.
It's like once you get into a routine, I think, it's very hard to break it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you mean, have you told them earlier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are we answering a question right now? Or we're just...
I guess we're trying to understand what was the chay. Why was it important to tell them earlier? And then why didn't he? And then I guess what's the machlokas, I guess, between Rashbam and Rashi. Yeah. So Al is trying to explain why it's important to tell them earlier. Right? And you're saying that if he told them earlier, then it would have been better. Because
otherwise they get into the mindset of every day I have to go out and check for the month.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay, good.
It's like when you prepare kids that were leaving the playground, you get 10 minute warning, 5 minute warning. You know, like if you give them the advance warning, it's much easier to...
Still not easy, just easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So then why didn't Moshe do that?
Well, according to Rashbam?
No, according to Rashi.
According to Rashi, why did he do
it? Because you're saying, according to Rashi, that was you're explaining Rashi, right? Because you're explaining why it would have been good to tell them earlier.
Right.
But Rashbam's saying it wasn't good. So, right, so you're in the world of Rashi, what you're trying to say, why it wasn't bad that he told them too late. Now a good peg, a point that leads to the next step, trying to analyze. So your question. Yeah. So why did he? You know.
So yeah, I'm confused. He looks like he told them part of it on Friday and part of it on Shabbos.
Well, he told them to get
On Shabbos, Friday, he said, like, prepare the food and bake everything. It's going to be there tomorrow, and then, you know.
Right.
And then on Shabbos, he said, it's a Shabbos. You're supposed to gather the other 6 days and don't gather today.
Right.
But he didn't tell them that on Friday?
Right. Seems like Friday their question was, what's the deal with the double? He said, make it for tomorrow, and he'll double for tomorrow.
But he didn't tell them it's not going to come down,
I guess
not gathering.
I guess not. And then they figure, I guess they didn't really believe him or something, because they thought it would rot, because it rotted every other day. Whatever, they left it over. And he came to Moshe and said, hey, it did not, look at that. And he's like, oh, of course, because you're not going to eat anything today. This is what you're supposed to eat today. And it's like a funny kind of back and forth. Right?
Yeah.
You know, it could just be like they weren't ready for that lesson yet. They first had to see that it's not going to rot. Then he'll tell them about...
It's not a really long adjustment time to like get used to this way of...
I know, you know what I mean? It's a good question. Is that part of the rebuke also? It's like, not only did Moshe didn't tell the whole thing, Friday. Even when he told it to them, he kind of only told them halfway. Right?
So he didn't tell them that. But doesn't it seem obvious? Like, I mean, maybe it's just because in retrospect it seems obvious, but even if you're in the moment where you see that there's now two portions on Friday, do you really have to say specifically?
Well, maybe they think they're going to get extra. Maybe they think Shabbos is going to be super duper, but they're going to have the Friday portion, and then they're also going to have a Shabbos portion. In fact, why did they go out? Maybe that's your question. Why did they go out? They already got. Well, maybe they're going to get more. Super duper. Maybe a feast. All right?
It was gluttony, or it was just like...
I mean, they want the more.
Security,
gluttony, whatever. Shabbos. Who knows? So then he had to say, oh...
Is this the first they heard of Shabbos? Like...
Good question. No, no. It's by Maroi. I think the Rashi says by Maroi. Told me the Shabbos. I think that's the Shabbos there, right?
It was Paro Duma, Mamanos, and Shabbos,
I think. Yeah. I think so, too. And there's nothing new about Shabbos in theory. I don't even know about the Mon, the Double, and this and this, but they knew about the Shabbos, like Avram Yaga, it's like, you know, like Flavius, like Yaakov, about Shabbos. In the Milcha and Shabbos, we say about Shabbos, Avram Yagel, it's like your own, and Yaakov, and Avianuchuba. So they were happy about it, they rested on it. The idea of Shabbos goes back to Bereshit. But I mean, the mitzvah of Shabbos and this all, it's entirety in the Mon, it seems
like
that. Are
they tracking Shabbos since like
Adon HaRishon? It seems so. How else would we know?
Start counting for the Mon.
Seems so.
I think we want to talk about that here.
Did I? Yeah.
That would imply that Shabbos is like a neat idea, because he wouldn't even track it.
What did you say?
That would imply that.
Just been like, I don't know, there's like knowledge of it.
How do you feel?
Pretty wild.
Yeah. So what do you say? So Ayel, you're on a good path here. So we just have to answer the question. So why didn't Moshe tell them, right?
So from the perspective of that they're going to see the double.
Right.
Maybe Moshe felt like it would be obvious, and he didn't feel the need, or.
No, but this is a week in advance. You're arguing that it would have been better to tell them earlier so they'll get used to the idea.
Right.
But now Moshe Rabbeinu waited. According to the Rashbam, that's good. It's a good idea. But according to Rashi, it was an error. So now your question was, what kind of avera is that? That's a strange avera for someone like Moshe Rabbeinu to make. Well, what's the point? Why would he, you know?
Maybe he was overestimating what they were able to, like, his idea of like being reliant on Hashem and like being surprised and amazed would be like a positive in his perspective.
Right.
But they were not on that level. It was just like too much change too fast. Like they couldn't like just rely on that, like having time to prepare and understand that this is happening now, but it's gonna be going away. Uh-huh. Like, better for them.
And you're combining the Rashbam and Rashi.
Not on purpose, but I guess.
Right, because you're saying is that in Rashi, the motivation was...
Whatever his reason was, but yeah.
Right, and my question was within the Rashi, so why did he do it? So you're saying, because the Rashbam's reason. But it was a mistake because he misjudged them. Right?
From the perspective of Rashi, it's irrelevant why he did it. It was a mistake, and he was punished for it, right?
Right. But if it's a mistake, so I guess Esty's trying to make the error less bad. Because she's saying he didn't just not do it because he didn't feel like it. But he didn't do it because he thought it would...
It's not like Moshe would just forget something that Hashem told him, you know?
I think you would have to say that any time how he delivered it was what he thought was the best thing.
Yeah, it was intentional, but it was not the right calculation at the time. I don't think Moshe just like slipped his mind or he was too busy to get around to it. I think it was more of an intentional thing and then it just turned out to be the wrong intention.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you see Moshe was criticized, right? That's that other thing. He was punished and he was also included. It's a funny criticism though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how is that his punishment, right?
That was the only punishment. Well, according to that Rashi, where you, like, what was it, like, you pull up the weed to get some carob?
That what?
Where you pull up the weed
to get some carob?
Right.
That. A different translation.
That he was, like, a little bit responsible for them doing that. Because he didn't tell them. Mm-hmm. So, they were being criticized, but he kind of goes with it because he was a little bit responsible because he didn't tell them.
Right. Good. So what was, let me ask you this. What was the value of it not falling on Shabbos? Was that just because?
So they wouldn't collect it.
It means they wouldn't go out on Shabbos.
It's work for them to go out and collect it. Disturbs the peace of, like, you know, the concept of the Nukhah.
And this is like the mitzvah of Shabbos.
Yeah.
So it says outside the Tchon, that's what the Nidorah said.
Oh, really? It says, Aliyat
Yesh Mekom Ovi Yomashvi. You shouldn't go out of your makom. So the Dorish, it's a question from what is the rise of Dorban, but the Drash is that it's based on that. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're out of the side of their makom, out of the camp. Some says, I think they're almost derisa of 12 mil, because the camp was 12 mil, so that's the sheer derisa. The 2,000 animals they didn't kill is Dorabana.
What is that in miles or
not feet? Not a lot. 12 mil is a lot, it's much more.
Yeah, work for that, no?
12 mil?
It's in Israel, we had that.
Oh, yeah, because you had it because the derisa was right. It was far, right? Do you remember?
Really far, yeah. Turns out that wasn't an issue, but.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was, he said.
It's miles, right?
Yeah, like.
Yeah,
maybe
80
more.
Yeah,
that's
a lot.
We went far.
Well, yeah, a mil is the amount that you walk in 18 minutes, I think. So 12 miles, you know, far. You look for a petition?
So that on a daily basis, there were people that were walking that long to get their mon outside of the Makana?
It was a case.
There were some people that had to go that far on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense. If you have to get your sustenance and you're really hungry and you have to walk 80 miles to get your food.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, so something like this. Okay, going along the path you guys are going, but I just want to add one more dimension to it. Which is that maybe it was part of the mon. See, what was the lesson of the mon? Right? So the Torah says, right? Mon v'diyacha ki lo alachem levado yichei al adam ki al kol motzef Yashem yichei adam. To know that don't think like you live on bread. You don't live on bread. You live by the word of Hashem. Hashem wants you to have bread. Hashem set up a law of nature which allows you to have bread and to find bread and to live. But don't become intrinsically dependent on the law itself and give the law an intrinsic...
The law
of nature, whatever, bread, or the laws of nature, and feel like you ultimately are dependent upon the laws of nature. Like the Mother Earth, or, you know, it's like a type of a worship where a person could become, treat the laws of nature as if they are the be-all and end-all of the universe. And your life is dependent upon those laws. It's not true. Your life is dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The laws are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will of the way the universe ordinarily operates. And you should align yourself with those laws because that's how he wants you to be fed, sustained. But it's not because intrinsically those laws are what sustains you, because when they're in the mon for 40 years, they were sustained without bread. They're sustained by the mon. So you see is that the mon in general, God makes you live on bread, but that's just but the underlying reality of what sustains you is whatever Hashem provides, right? It's just the ordinary method of His providing is the bread. So it gives you it makes your bread different. It allows you to relate to the law as simply an instance of the Ritzon Hashem, as opposed to as being an essential underlying reality. Okay? And that was important for them. That was important for them too. When they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to be living in the era of Nisim all over the place. But they should take with them that even though there are going to be laws of nature, they should realize the laws of nature are simply a manifestation of the Tzon Hashem. Don't worship the laws of nature. The laws of nature are simply the laws by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs nature. Right? It runs the world. Okay.
So as in the modern age, we're kind of divorced from the whole, you know, reaping the land to get sustenance. So would the modern equivalent of that be that you're worshiping the concept of, you know, as much as I work, that's when I get paid, or like the
American, like, but I mean, we still do eat bread, and we still feel like, I mean, but it's the same thing. I mean, I think bread is a marshal. I mean, it's an instance. It's one example. But yeah, definitely. It's whatever. It's like I'm sustained based upon my
life. Like you're just totally reliant on technology. It's like the technologies and the science that, like, that's really what it comes down to. If a person believes that, ultimately, I think it's the same kind of thing. Even if we still need to grow our food, even if we're not doing it, somebody's doing it.
Right. And your success, you think, comes from your ability to navigate the laws of nature properly. In a certain sense, that's true, but in a certain sense, it's really the ability to navigate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world properly. One of which is the laws of nature, another thing is Torah and mitzvahs and all that. So it like gives you a different perspective for a scientist or an atheist or someone. Ultimately, the measure of their success in life is their ability to work within the laws, and that is the underlying reality. But for us, we realize, yes, we have to navigate those laws, because Hashem said, told us that we're you know, prove him laws as a Hoshua, we should conquer the world, but that's just because that's his will. But sometimes we have to go against that. We have to get tzedakah, we have to be Moser Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem, there are other things besides for, we don't only think that the be-all and end-all is the laws of nature. They are part of the world, but there's Ashkacha, there's Chayav Onesh, there are mitzvahs. Right? So it's a lesson about how we relate to the laws. Now, there's a danger, so the man was teaching them that. It was trying to allow them to appreciate that concept, that the laws of nature, which they were so used to, are not as, don't become hooked on the laws or addicted to the laws of nature or to bread as intrinsic. And the experience of living off the man allowed them to have that appreciation, right? Now, it could be like this. There's a danger of when you're in the midbar, so it's almost like you could replace the bread with man. And you could relate to the man as the law of nature of the desert. Right? The desert, well, apparently, someone told me actually, Daryl told me, some guy has this theory. The desert, man falls down on some sort of thing. There's a worm and a frog and
like eggs or something.
Some funny theory. That in the desert, there ends up being man. But it's a natural phenomenon. You know? So I think Daryl on his course was, what about Shabbos? Doesn't quite explain that, you know? So that's exactly my point here, is that emotionally, if you're in the desert and you don't have bread, and then you go out and you find the man every day, you could say, oh, this is the law of the desert. Turns out we never knew about it, but there's man in the deserts. Deserts have man. Bread falls from the sky. You just treat it like another law of nature, right? There's another law of nature. So it could be is that Zbidavka set up not as the laws of nature. Shabbos is... The fact that it doesn't fall on Shabbos precludes that theory. Because it doesn't make sense. The law of nature doesn't fall on Shabbos. What is that? You see that it's falling on us every day because God puts it there. And he gives you a double portion on the Yom HaShishi, and he tells it doesn't give you any portion on the Yom HaShvi. So it's like specifically set up in a way that you have to follow the mitzvah of Hashem, and it's falling according to Hashem's will based upon as you're celebrating Shabbos and you're preparing for Shabbos and the whole system of the man was a miraculous food, and you couldn't mistake it for being another natural phenomenon. Okay, and but you had to know your life is dependent upon Hashem giving you the man every day. Is he going to give it to you today? Well, then you're going to live. If he's not going to give it to you, you're not going to live. You can't say, "Oh, I'll live because the law of the man will save me." No, there's no law of the man. You don't get to feel there's a law of the man, right? Now, if you don't know about Shabbos, then you might think about the man that way. If you're afraid, we have food today. Uh-oh, we're going to have tomorrow? I don't know, let's try to hoard for tomorrow. Oh, the rots. Well, tomorrow falls again. So there's an insecurity that the man creates that you have to, which it's trying to create, to try to break you from that attachment to the laws and recognize your defense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you run the risk of now grabbing security from the law of the man. And if you don't know about the Yom HaShabbos, then you could make that error.
It's like insult to injury.
What? Yeah, it makes it worse, man. Yeah. So basically, is because Moshe didn't tell them about that, they didn't know about that. So what happened was, they became hooked to it as if it's like another law, right? So now, when it came Shabbos, came Friday, whatever, but ultimately, they were not able to withdraw from collecting on the Yom Shabbos. It became, since that became their security in the law of the month, so even though there was a tzivoy not to, but that was like they had this insecurity, which they patched up with this theory, some of them, and therefore, even with the tzivoy, they couldn't help themselves. Like it's their dependency, the way they coped with their lack of bread, was instead of directing it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing the tzivoy Hashem and accepting Shabbos and the whole thing, they went in a bad direction. And they couldn't break it.
If he had told them earlier, it would have been...
Yeah, so it could be, if he told them earlier, it would have been painful. Because they wouldn't have been able to have that wrong theory. And that would have been very hard for them. They wouldn't have anything to attach to.
There's also a pain in having to, like, first accept the concept of the month and then accept the extra piece of, like...
Yes.
And you can't rely on the
month. Sure. Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's why it's not, you're right, it's true, it's not, ultimately that wasn't a good idea, that was a mistake, and that caused them to fail, but if you would have told them earlier, it would have been very hard also, and given that there are complaining people and all that, it could be they would have, oh, you can't handle it, we need food, what are you doing, you know, we're not going to get on Shabbat, you know, get them nervous. So it could be that Moshe did, it was an error, but he, like, so to speak, caved to the people. And he babied them, in a sense. And he, in order to avoid the confrontation, or to, you know, because you're right, it's not a long-sighted plan, because you're just pushing it off the inevitable, and you can make it worse. Right?
Well, it kind of makes it a little better.
Now.
Trying to avoid...
Yeah, avoid the confrontation.
If you wait until they get double, then...
Yeah, then you can tell them...
So it seems like maybe they'd be less stressed out.
Yes, but then the next day, you're like setting them up for this problem. So it's like in a longer term sense, you're causing them to have a wrong idea, which you're then going to have to wean them from, and it's a corrupt idea, and that's not the way, and as Hashem told them earlier, this is what you have to tell them. And it's going to be painful for them, but you got to teach it to them. But he wasn't able to do that. He failed. I don't know exactly if
like
he thought or misjudged. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's hard to get into his head what he thought, if he just misjudged the people or if he just was too weak and he couldn't get himself to do it. But whatever it is, he made a mistake. Whereas that seems to be, maybe he had some argument, maybe he argued like the Rashbam's thing, but ultimately, that was wrong. But see what it was then. The proper thing to do was to tell them now, as hard as it would be for them, this is what they had to do. And he would have to, you know, tell them and teach them and stand up and whatever. But he couldn't do it. And because he couldn't do it, he let them fall into this wrong idea. And therefore, ultimately, he, in a sense, is blameworthy for it. Now, ultimately, it's their chay. But that's what he's, in a certain sense, he's like the carob. In a certain sense. Because it's not his chay. I mean, they're still the ones who collected on Shabbos in direct violation of the tzivoy. But in a certain sense, he's in with them. Because he's a contributing factor. He put them in a position which made it very difficult for them to be able to withstand that desire. So therefore, when Hashem rebuked him, he says, "Anosame antam, you guys." He's a cause. Not the direct cause is their choice. They could have not collected on Shabbos. But if he played the cards differently, he could have prevented it.
They had already not listened to him, and like if you look in Pasuk Yutes, Yomer Moshe Aleim Ish Al Yosar Mimenu Adboka, he clearly told them, don't leave anything over for the next day.
Yeah.
And even that, there were people, you know, Dustin Aviram or whatever, who
problem.
Didn't listen.
Similar problem, right? Similar problem is that they couldn't deal with that insecurity. So they tried to hoard it, to save it over, but that was also part of the thing.
He's not held culpable for that, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because that they just did, he told them not to leave it over.
They didn't obey it.
They didn't obey it, but arguably it's because of the same. But this is the challenge of the month. Are you going to be able to deal with the fact that the world is insecure, You know, ultimately, your security rests upon your bitachon mahashem that he's going to supply for you. And you want to hoard it? Well, you can't hoard it. It's not gonna, that's not the way it's going to work. The way you're going to live is because you know tomorrow Hashem's going to provide for you.
What's going to be when Hashem said he's going to test me through that? Like, give them the opportunity to, like, and this is really their first time trying to control themselves like this, right?
I guess so. I'm not sure.
Just
gonna
mind.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there are a lot of different ways to interpret that. The Ramban says, you know, Rashi says that they're going to keep the mitzvahs, which are Ketalei in the man. But, I don't know where that is. Rashi, Ramban quotes the Rashi. Yeah.
My question from before was when Rashi says, what does that expression mean? Like,
you
know, it's not like listed as one of Moshe's fates, and you know.
Well, it sounds like it means like that he was not
hated, that he was somehow in the wrong. Is that
right? He was not in favor, in God's favor, and by that rebuke, he was included in the rebuke, and that creates like a distance between him and God. Well, that's a type of punishment. I mean, that's being out of God's favor, and God, you know, rebuking you. It creates a distance. I don't know if there was like a consequence or whatever, but that itself is a consequence, you know? Uh-huh. Like if a teacher yells at a student, that's a punishment. That's the punishment.
Right.
It's not good to be out of favor of the teacher, so it's not good to be out of favor of Gadosh Baruch Hu. That was a chayin, and that was, you had to, you know, take the rebuke and learn from it. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Rashi says there on Man on the Senu. He says he's giving them the man each day for each thing and not to collect for tomorrow. And he'll test them if they're going to keep the mitzvahs about the man, that they're not going to leave it over and they're not going to go out on Shabbos. So it seems like this was part of the nisayon of the man, was that they would be able to relate to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. And you see that they failed, or at least some of them failed. And it was Moshe Rabbeinu knew it would be a hard challenge for them. And it seems, according to Rashi, that he had a failure in properly, you know. It's an interesting point. Is sometimes you feel like you don't want to tell someone something, you know, so you hold it with them. But sometimes you realize if you don't, it's not going to help you to push it later. Sometimes later it's going to be worse. You let a person have a wrong impression. But if you know you're going to have to end up correcting it, and then it's going to be even harder, so just tell them now. But it's hard. It's hard because you want to avoid a confrontation. You want to avoid making the person uncomfortable. But sometimes you have to think, is it going to make it worse? Sometimes it's smart. What's the point of ruining a very good day? Why do you have to tell them now if you can tell them tomorrow? But sometimes you're going to cause them to be further steeped in a wrong idea. So it's not good. Right?
Seems like a learning process for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, the Rashbam doesn't seem to be learning this way. He seems to be holding. I don't know if we have to analyze why he doesn't like Rashi exactly what he seems to be saying. On the contrary, it was better for them to appreciate Shabbos. Part of the thing was the mitzvah was here was not to give them this challenge. On the contrary, to give them to appreciate the Yom HaShabbos and the kavod of the Yom HaShabbos. And by telling them right as a, you know, as a good educational experience, is right when they were wondering what's going on, Shabbos, and that was like a better, and it doesn't seem like he held that there was this problem. Right? Right, I mean, that's interesting. He's not, I mean, apparently there was a chet that they did that, but it doesn't seem like he's learning. I'm not sure why, but he doesn't seem to be learning that Moshe Rabbeinu failed and it was important for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell him earlier. So on the contrary.
What is that to the Rashbami? That Moshe was miscavane and that they would be, like, surprised?
Yeah, they'd be wondering what's going on, and then he would. I'm sorry.
Is it
Lahem?
Is it Lahem?
So Moshe's kashu to mayhem, they'd be wondrous, kashim su mishnah, when they'd find double. So the Elohim ata, to tell them now, kvod shel yom
shabbos,
kvod
of the yom. Like,
you want to, like, tell them through demonstration? Right, exactly, right. It's like hands-on learning. As opposed to just giving them a list of facts, they'd appreciate it, and they'd understand it, and they'd see the double, and they'd say, wow, what is this? And they'd say, oh, Shabbos, and that would be like a better learning experience.
If there was enough that there were people like Dustin and Aviram that were able to collect extra and try to keep it for the next day, then how do they know it was double?
Like, how so Rashi says when they measured it in their house, the way it was, no matter how much they picked, is the Rashi learned. How much you picked, it was always the same amount when you measured it. But on this day, when they measured it, it was double.
You know, they're taking home to like prepare it or something, and you know, it always was four cups. And,
Yes, it's a good question. I had an idea. I can't remember what I wanted to say. But what's the argument? Like, what is the Rashbam not like about Rashi? Seems like a good point. That why is it a smart thing to do? To wait. To tell them, it seems to be, on the contrary, better off telling them earlier to prepare them so they don't relate to it in the wrong way. He's like ignoring the emotional component of the money, just looking at it like, oh, they're just collecting the money every day, and then on 6th day they get double and say, hey, what's going on? Oh, tomorrow Shabbos, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like he's kind of looking at it more as like a learning experience as opposed to like a emotional challenge. But Rashi seems to be supported because you see they ended up not being able to do it. They sinned. Right?
I do this a lot in parenting.
Which one?
The way that Moshe did it. Like, it kind of just, like, don't mention things and then just, like, hope everybody kind of goes along with it.
Right.
But, like, it usually fails.
Usually fails?
Yeah.
I think it's
at least for someone, like.
Right. But is it a mistake? I mean, maybe it's a good question.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. I think that people...
Because of the failure, we don't want to have the confrontation
now.
For the
same reason. Yeah, it doesn't, first of all, it doesn't necessarily avoid a confrontation later. Usually at the moment that they realize...
Mm-hmm. Like then their energies are already going. You want to like set the expectations early, and you already know the framework. And then when you're doing it, you're like,
but there is a very strong emotion.
There's a concept in the workplace of just in time training. Like, you don't want to train people for like give instruction before they're actually going to be using it, because then they forget it.
Right.
So maybe Moshe's concept here was, or according to the Rashbam, is like, it has to be something that is practical for them in the moment, for them to really get the concept. Mm-hmm. And then once they see it there, that it's like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Then he would explain it to them.
But maybe that works in cases where there's not like an emotion operating.
Right.
It sounds kind of like the Rashbam is saying, like, Moshe was telling them, like, Miyom HaRishon, like, I knew this the whole time, like, the whole... But really, there was a framework of a week. They didn't understand that, but probably would have, like, I guess Rashi said, it would have been easier for them to understand. This is a week. It's going to be coming down by the week.
Right.
You know, 6 days of gathering, a day of not, you know.
Right.
But that this was something, like, from the beginning, this was, like, the plan all along, but I was waiting to tell you so that... In other words, this wasn't just, like, a new thing. It wasn't some kind of change that just happened, like the month is coming down, and now something just changed. I don't know what I'm talking about.
The point is that you can't just assume that by doing the training just in time, you're going to avoid the anxiety.
Already in the moment. Okay, let's just move ahead. I think he was thinking it in a more rational way, because he didn't have as much of a his emotions didn't necessarily impact the way he related to the mind. But for the people, it was a much more emotional thing, and so he should have prepared them further in advance.
Right.
Maybe like this, is that according to the Rashi, part of the whole idea of the not falling on Shabbos is this idea of the man, of relating to it properly and not as a law of nature and all that. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then you got to tell them earlier. But maybe the Rashbam's not learning that. He's just saying is the idea of the not falling on Shabbos, like what you guys are saying, is it's a mitzvah of Shabbos, so you learn on Shabbos, you don't go out, you don't do malacha, you have a couple of Shabbos, it's a day of rest. And if you look at it that way, that the whole idea of not falling on Shabbos is just a positive idea of the Yom HaShabbos, and their failure was because they didn't keep the Yom HaShabbos, but they tried to make money on the Yom HaShabbos, so then, better to teach them about the Yom HaShabbos when they're wondering about it, and there's a Kavod HaYom, and you show them...
Right
then and there. What do you need to tell them about the Yom HaShabbos 5 days beforehand? It's just an idea of celebrating the Yom HaShabbos. It'll be more real to them when they have the double. And they say, oh, it's for Shabbos is tomorrow. That's a better lesson. So it's like the whole, the assuming the whole thing is because giving them the proper way to relate to the man and not having the wrong idea about the man and all that, then it's true. But maybe the Ashram just doesn't hold by that. That's not the challenge. That wasn't the challenge involved in the whole Shabbos thing. The whole challenge here was more take a day away from working and away from your livelihood and take it in, you know, don't do malacha.
So then on that, you're saying that for it was just simply a miscalculation that they would get hung up on it? And
I guess he'll say is maybe it wouldn't have helped. Yeah, whatever. He doesn't say that was the cause of their failure. Just look, he did it properly, and he did. But some people just couldn't keep Shabbos. Whatever, that was just a failure. And it's not short ties of Moshe. And I may on them, I don't know, he doesn't really explain that.
Well, the Rashbam is not denying that the pasuk clearly states Adana Me'antem, and that,
well,
and that includes Moshe.
He doesn't explain it. I don't know. I'm not sure. Adana Me'antem could just mean he's talking whatever.
Plural.
It's plural. Whatever.
So the Rashbam is arguing that Moshe didn't do anything wrong here?
Yeah. He doesn't say that he did. Yeah, I'm saying is if he doesn't say it, I don't know what he would say. But there's nothing in the... It's not open that Moshe did something wrong. It's a drash of Me'antem, why the grammatical structure and whatever, and Rashi learns that way.
Right.
But the Rashbam doesn't say anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, if anything, he implies that Moshe did a smart thing, and that word doesn't criticize him. Mm-hmm. And that word, I mean, I know that's how Rashi is dorish the word, but I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of ways you can explain why it says Me'antem. I know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, you know... Right. That's what I'm suggesting. I mean, unless it could be, you could argue the Rashbam agrees with Rashi. Like what you were trying to say before, he agrees with Rashi. The only thing is, he's trying to say, what was Moshe thinking? He's just giving like a motivation of what Moshe was thinking, trying to be on mitzchus a little bit. But I don't know, I'm not sure. Yeah. Alright. Let's stop here. Yeah.
This is, I don't know.